You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
5 minutes after 9, South African time, 0847863132. That's our WhatsApp number. To all the local listeners, of course, international listeners, +27 8478 63132. We want to welcome the listeners of Al Ansar International, the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Ismail and Company, and of course, the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah Wal Jama'ah. Let's go to the question to start. Somebody says, Mufti Sahab, if two people stay in different places and there's no physical contact, but with social media, so much can happen. Is this regarded as an affair? And is itba sin, especially if this woman is a widow and this man doesn't want to marry her? Anonymous Ustad.
Remember, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala addresses all these type of issues, and therefore Islam is a religion and a code of conduct for all times, all places, all situations and circumstances. Quran Kareem teaches us Wala taqrabu zina, to not even go near fornication, adultery. Innahu kana fahisha, it is something indecent, obscene. Wasa'a sabila, a horrible, terrible path to take. Surah 17, chapter 17, verse number 32. Now you, Mr. ABC, you in Pumalanga, MP, Makulu pothole. I just come from there. Lot of potholes there. And remember that another party is in KZN, KwaZulu Natal. So now they are strangers with a widow divorcee, and now they're sending messages, this, that. So you got nothing to do with one another. So these are the stepping stone to zina, fornication, adultery. Totally haram and not permissible. So say, Ya Allah, for your love, I am going to stop all this, and then see halawatul iman. Man taraka shay'an lillah, awwazahu Allahu khayran min. When we abstain, refrain from something for the sake of Allah, Allah will give you a better replacement. Remember that.
Somebody says, you'll start from Isipingo. Mufti Sahab, what do we sellers do when people take holiday on credit but don't pay the seller back because their holiday was spoiled due to bad weather? Anonymous Ustad.
Remember that you are in Ispingo Beach, you are there in the South Coast or North Coast, Umslanga or whatever, and now you are selling, you know, the holiday flats or hiring it out or whatever. So obviously that the people are going to pay you a deposit, or they pay you the entire sum. So whatever you promise them, you must fulfill. Now you must remember the weather turned out to be raining, they couldn't go to the beach, or the weather was very bad and windy, and so all that is beyond your control. So that is not within your control. Hence, that person who came for holiday from Gauteng or Hammanskraal or wherever, he has to pay you the full sum, because the weather is not with the remote control. Remember that. That if the remote control is not working, all that, then it's your fault. You did not provide the service that you promised them. But remember that for the aircon or the gates or whatever. But the weather and all is beyond your control, so they cannot demand from you any refund. So that is the law and fatwa according to Islam.
Walter says, where is the soul after burial? Walter, Ustad.
My brother Walter, I want you to make a note of this. There is a book in Arabic which I have, Kitab al-Ruh, and the author is Hafiz ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah, the greatest and celebrated student of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, for those of you who know Arabic. It's translated in various languages. But for you, my brother Walter, now it's translated and summarized in English, and it's known as The Journey of the Soul. Write that down, my brother Walter. The Journey of the Soul. And remember, the author is Ibn Qayyim, Q-A-Y-Y-I-M, Ibn Qayyim. So you should read that book, and you will get obtain a greater understanding of the journey of the soul. For us as Muslims, we believe if a person passed away with Iman, Islam, and Allah Jalla Wala is pleased with that person, Innal Abrara Lafi Na'im, and remember that it will be that, you know, Illiyin, Quran also speak, in some high place. And from there, mashallah, with Allah's power, he will be able to see his place in Jannah and paradise. And a person who died without Islam and Iman, then innal fujjar lafi sijjin, it will be in some low place, some dungeon, some prison. We don't know, it's beyond our perception and comprehension. So remember that it is. Now let me give you examples of this. I am flying from here to New Zealand, and I'm going via Dubai. Yeah, I flew like that, so I'm to give you this example. So I'm sitting in the first class lounge. I'm sitting in the business class lounge. So now it's so comfortable, everything there, but now I'm going to a better place. I'm going to New Zealand. So remember that. So that person is in comfort zone after his demise, but he's already receiving the fragrance of paradise and everything else. He's going to a better place after the day of justice. And the person, you must remember, who died without Iman and Islam, you see people, police arrest them and keep them in custody. He's a flight risk, so you stay here, throng to, and then your court case will come and you'll be found guilty and then dispatched to Jahannam, the hellfire. So those people are in custody already. And you know custody is not good nowadays, so the day is worse. So from there he can already see his place in Jahannam and the hellfire. So these are just examples so that we make it easy for people to understand according to our puny little brain.
Ustad, my wife and I were not intimate for 1 year. So I made nikah eventually to another woman, Ustad. My wife and kids left. I realized I made a mistake, Mufti Saab. And I told them I am begging them for 8 months to take me back. They refused. Please help me, Mufti Saab. Ustad.
Absence make the heart grow fonder, my brother. So why you didn't fulfill the rightful conjugal rights with your wife? 1 year you were together. You should have tried to seduce her. She should have tried to seduce you. But now you'll just carried on and all that. And then you got fed up. Then you got married. Then you realize kullu jadidin ladhis don't work everywhere. Every new one is not so delicious, you see. Old is gold. So now you realize big mistake I made in life. So now we don't know what you did. Did you give a talaq? No, you didn't give a talaq. So remember, she is still your wife. So you don't have to beg her. You both are your wives now. You have to do justice to both of them. So what you need to do now is ask Allah for forgiveness. Ask them, your first wife, your children, for forgiveness. And look after the second one also. And do justice between them. And never practice on your emotional decisions. Because when you take decisions on the, you know, rebound, now you fell, your wife rejected you, let me get somebody else. But now you realize you put a bigger problem for yourself. So now keep both wives and make justice and go ask them for forgiveness.
084-786-3132. Is it true that Prophet Muhammad has been prophesied in Christianity, Ustad, Judaism, etc.? Anonymous, Ustad.
100%, you must remember it's mentioned in the Quran Kareem, and I'll give you the relevant verses. Yajidunahu maktuban indahum fit Tawrat wal Injil. So you must remember Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam's Mubarak name is mentioned in the Tawrat and in the Injil. So the Tawrat is the book which the Jews believe in. Injil is the gospel which the Christians believe in. Chapter number 7, Surah A'raf, and verse number 157. You got it? Chapter 7, verse 157. And if you see Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching us the hadith in Musnad Ahmad, Ana da'watu Ibrahim, I am as a result of the dua and supplication of Khalilullah Ibrahim, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. When he, Khalilullah, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, completed the reconstruction of the Baytullah, he made dua there at the Kaaba Musharrafa Baytullah. رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. Ya Allah, you send a messenger from them. مِّنْهُمْ مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ, both comes in the Quran. So from them, Ya Allah, you send. So I, the dua was accepted. وَبُشْرَى عِيسَى. So that is chapter 2, verse 128. And you see, and Isa alayhi salam, he gave great tidings to them, the people. The final messenger will come, نعم ومبشرا برسول ياتي من بعد اسمه احمد. And who is the final messenger? Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His name will be Ahmad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Chapter 61, verse 6. You Muslim, you should know this. Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who Allah has praised the most and the most. Ahmad, I praise Allah the most. Mustafa, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So see both meanings, beautiful. And you see, if you want, Sheikh Ahmad Didat, rahimahullah, Allah Ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus. He did great work in this field. So he's got a whole book on this. So Muhammad in the Bible and so forth. But all that, see, I give you one. If you just Google the in the Bible and so forth, and put their Faran, put their Paran, you will find some Bible got Faran, some got Paran. So F-A-R-A-N or P-A-R-A-N. So that is the name, Biwadin Ghairi Dhi Zara'in, the valley and the place where Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's honorable Milad Mubarak took place. And the Bible, instead of saying the last prophet, they used the comforter, because they brought about additions, omissions, all these type of things. So therefore, you see now, the Pope is who? Francis. Before him was who? Pope Benedict. It's in German. So you must remember when he, Pope Benedict, told his own people, his bishops and them, that this Christianity is not the true religion. So they knew if this thing leaks out to the world, remember there'll be big trouble. So they told him, you better resign. If you study Christianity and the papal and papal see and pope and all these things here, yeah, so you will know after how many centuries it happened that the pope resigned. So they himself knows that, remember, the only true religion is Islam. And Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's spoken about the place of birth, the valley of Faran. In the Bible you will find it about the comforter and so many other places. So Almighty Allah speaks of it. I gave you the references.
Somebody says, trust to aware, Mufti Saab, I would like some clarity on an issue regarding a marhum's estate. He worked for a company for over 40 years and has been contributing a portion of his salary towards a pension fund. Firstly, Mufti Saab, is this fund permissible in Islam? Secondly, the marhum didn't retire from the company before passing away, and his wife is the beneficiary to the fund. The heirs to the estates are a wife, a daughter, and two sons, and a mother. When the pension fund gets paid out, does it go only to the wife, or does it have to be distributed amongst the heirs according to Sharia, Ustad?
Jazakallah khair, brother. Very important questions. Let's answer you. Number one, pension fund permissible. So ABC company, he was working there 40, 45 years, and he was paying, and maybe they were paying the employer one rand, whatever the amounts were, what they agreed on. And remember, so when the total payout came, so that is halal for them, and they should just see which portfolios the money was invested in. If it was invested in breweries and alcohol, pornography, gambling, so all that obviously is haram. So that they must keep one side. They can pay their taxes and all that with that. Haram for haram. Al-khabithatu lil-khabithin. Second one is this, that must that go only to the deceased wife as a beneficiary, or should it go into the estate? No, it must go into the estate. So that's the second issue. Third issue, that now we want the shares of the heirs. So you must just see, Maulana, that I'm including all the heirs. The way I understood it, he passed away, Allah gave him Jannatul Firdaus. You, the family, should be reading abundantly. Surah 14, verse 41. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. So number one is the wife of the deceased. So Islamically, she's entitled to 12.5, okay? That is after burial, funeral expenses, debts of the deceased are paid, business and our personal debts, wasiya for non-heirs, maximum 1/3. Now the shares of the heirs, wife 12.5%. Then the deceased biological mother is also alive, so 1.6 for her. So you must remember that it's just under 17%. So you take that and the 12.5%, that gives you 29-30% plus minus. Thereafter, remember the 70-71 21% that's left, you will make 4 shares of it. 2 shares for the son, there's only one son there, correct, Molana? And 2 daughters. So remember the residue that is there, 71%, so 4 shares. So 2 shares to the son and 1 share each to the daughter. And that is how the estate will be winded up. So you should expedite it, my brother. Justice delayed is justice denied.
Subhanallah. Somebody says, listening to the program right now, I really like you guys' show. I am a Christian man. My name is Norbert, Ustad. I really like a Muslim girl. I want to marry her, but she keeps refusing. I wonder why, saying it's not allowed in Islam. But why is a man allowed to marry a non-Muslim woman? Could you please explain to me? Norbert, Ustad.
Norbert, thank you for the appreciation and giving us your time. We really appreciate it that you are listening to us. Although you do not belong to the Islamic faith, but Allah will change that very soon. You see, my brother Norbert, we have a constitution. And it is the direct speech of Almighty Allah. We call it the Quran Sharif, the Noble Quran. And in there, there are 114 chapters, 6,236 verses. Now, I want you, Norbert, that you record this, or either you write it down, I'm giving you references. Chapter 60, verse 10. You got it? Chapter 60, verse 10. In there, Almighty Allah, the girl you like, her name is Zainab, Jamila, Aisha, whatever. So, in there is mentioned, La hunna hillu lahum wa lahum yahilluna lahun. It's not permissible for Zainab, Aisha, Jamila, a Muslim lady, to marry any non-Muslim male, whether he's Jew, Christian, Hindu, whatever. Wala hum yahilluna lahun. And the non-Muslim man is not halal, permissible for him to marry the Muslim lady. So Almighty Allah removed all the ambiguity or doubt in that is lurking in people's minds. Both ways Allah mentioned it. You the Muslim lady, you cannot marry non-Muslim man. You the non-Muslim man, you cannot marry the Muslim lady. Right? Chapter 60, verse 10. I don't know who told you about that, that the Muslim man can marry a non-Muslim lady. I'm giving you again from our constitution, Surah chapter 2 and verse 221. So you must remember, وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنِ. A Muslim male cannot marry a lady who is an idol worshipper, believing in a polytheism and so forth and so on. So therefore, both ways today, in this day and age, we will say, whether the male who's a non-Muslim wants to marry my sister, the Muslim, or the Muslim male wants to marry a non-Muslim lady. In both scenarios, we will say that party who is non-Muslim must embrace Islam, prove they are true dedication, devotion to Islam, and then you marry the Muslim lady. So then is everything fine. Now let us look at it. I don't know you, my brother Norbert, but we just speak generally. Now, if, hypothetically, for argument's sake, you want to marry Zainab, Aisha, Jamila, my sister in Islam, so what is going to happen to your children? They look at the mother, some other religion. Look at the father, some other religion. Maybe you will want to bring the crucifix, the cross in the house. I don't know how dedicated you are as far as Christianity goes. Maybe you want to bring the wine and swine in the house. So see all the conflict and unnecessary things. For a successful marriage, I'm sure, my brother Norbert, you will agree with me on this point. If you want harmony, peace, then not only the bodies must meet, my brother Norbert, what has to meet, the hearts have to meet. And once the hearts meet, there's unity of thought. And once there's unity of thought, then whether you're in the plane, Mango Airlines or Dubai Airlines or Emirates or whatever, remember, then you will go through the turbulence together. But if you are in opposite directions, I don't know, because I think you're in Durban, if you understand Afrikaans, and if you're in the opposite direction, you going right, she's going left, then there's Skopskit and Donner, and then you'll be fighting day and night. I hope you understood, my brother Norbert.
Norbert says, thank you very much, but of course he has to go through his family's relatives for accepting Islam. Could you please guide me, Norbert Ustad?
You see, Norbert, in life, each person is responsible, end of the day, for his or her own actions. So yes, you discuss it with your family. You tell them that, you know, I studied a little bit of Islam, and I saw they are the most most sober people on this earth. I am telling you, my brother, being realistic and not apologetic, that you must study Islam. Don't study the Muslims. Muslims, you'll get all different types of people. You know, people, we have our weaknesses. Study Islam without a jaundiced eye, without blinkers, and then you will see it is a natural system, your natural home. So you discuss it with them, but ultimately and finally, it's your decision, Norbert. So you become a Muslim, not because of I'm saying, but for your own salvation, not because you fell in love with a Muslim girl. That is secondary now. It is for your own salvation. And thereafter, if you are sincere, when I buy the cow, the milk comes worth. So Allah will give you the Muslim girl, provided she is happy, her family is happy, but the proviso is you have to embrace Islam.
Ustad, what kind of kurtas, shawl, our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to wear? Did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abstain or detest any kind of ustad?
Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you must wear white clothes, وَكَفِّنُوا فِيهَا مَوْتَاكُمْ, and you must bury your deceased also in white clothes. And the hadith, remember, is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. And if you open Shama'il Tirmidhi, you will find that how the description of the Kurta Mubarak of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it doesn't mean that now I've got like a slight yellow kurta on, so all that is permissible. And I see on Arafat got like a beige kurta on. So mashallah. So it's very nice kurta.
Subhanallah.
Alhamdulillah. So remember that it's permissible. But certain colors, you know, for the men. So we must not wear, you know, when you see the non-Muslim, Hari Rama, Hari Krishna, they wear the bright, bright colors, so that Muslim men cannot wear and this type of things. And anything that is a symbol of the non-Muslims, so that we should not be wearing and so forth.
The lady, Ustad, this lady has 7,000 in a 2 years fixed deposit account, Ustad, which she can't cancel. Can she accept zakat, Ustaz?
Remember that, first of all, to open a fixed deposit account is not permissible. Now see the problem you got. And that is, you got the money, but you have to pay zakat also on it. And now, but you don't have access to it because you're collecting interest and so forth. So now you better go to the manager or something and tell them that, you know what, that you're in dire straits, is locked down and so forth, so on. And maybe on the grounds of compassion, they will allow you. But for you to take zakat is not permissible. You have to pay zakat according to Islam.
Ustaz, somebody says, can one charge profit on outstanding amount if person owing money delaying to send account statement for recon to close account, to start?
It's haram that. You must remember that person told you he or she will pay you end of June, July. They are delaying because of lockdown or whatever reason. So you decide every day, every week, every month that's passing, you're going to charge them interest. Totally haram that is. Therefore, Islam says Surah chapter 2, verses 275 to 279. Islam condemns interest from A to Z, and the one who sentenced there is mentioned, you won't find for any other crime in the entire Quran Sharif, that if you don't listen, فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا, if you don't abstain and refrain from interest, فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, then be prepared for a war against Allah Jalla wa'ala and the Messenger of Islam wa Rasooli Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who can fight Almighty Allah? Who can wage war against Allah and Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So remember, it's a major, major crime. So remember, you're only entitled to the amount which that person took as a loan or whatever the transaction was. Anything extra, kullu karzin jarra manfa'atan fawa riba. The hadith mentioned in Jami'u Saghir. When you sold something on credit, you gave a loan to the person, and then you take extra benefit, the directly, indirectly, all that excess is riba, interest, and haram.
Ustaz, my husband goes on shaking his head when reading his namaz and reading tasbih, and he's not aware of him shaking his head, Ustaz. What should I do?
Almighty Allah gave us all the answers in the noble Quran or in the Sunnah Mubarakah of Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So I give you both. So you must remember in the Quran Sharif, chapter 23 verse 2. Alladheena hum fi salatihim khashi'un. The pakka sacha musalman, the true devoted dedicated Muslims are those when they pray with humility, they pray with devotion and so forth. And no moving. If you go to the Wailing Wall, there in occupied Palestine called apartheid Israel, you will see the Jews and the rabbis praying. And they shake their body like this. I went right down. So in Islam, that is not permissible. You're imitating the Jews. Even if you're doing it unconsciously, you're not even aware. So you must abstain from that. One. Number two is this. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about these issues. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. That you must stand in front of Almighty Allah with silence and with all respect and all reverence and so forth. So if you open Tirmizi, Zayd bin Arqam radiallahu hadith, so you must remember we were commanded to remain silent and not to speak and shake and all these type of things there. So reverence, respect, we're standing. Imagine you're standing in front of a prime minister and you're moving like that. You'll think you're a madcap, handicapped brother, you know, and this type of things here. So you must remember that you're standing in front of the King of Kings, Almighty Allah. Hence there must be submission, surrender, based on love and respect.
So Ustaz, we made niyyah to sacrifice a lamb for sadaqah. Can we buy a lamb from the butcher shop and give it for sadaqah instead? Can we do this, Ustaz?
Yes, if it's sadaqah, voluntary, nothing to do with qurbani and all that is fine. Today, yesterday, whatever you said, you want to give one lamb, you want to give a goat, sheep as charity, you spoke to the butcher and he agreed, and then you go in there, he sliced it up for you and you gave it to the poor people, Muslim, non-Muslim. So it's voluntary charity, all permissible, no problem with that.
29 minutes to 10, before we go for an ad break, I do have a question. This is from UK, from Cambridge, Ustad. I recently found a book, Muftisab, by Harun Yahya called Perished Nations. I was told that he is a dodgy character and it might affect my beliefs reading his books. Please, Muftisab, I haven't found anything wrong in the book I read though. This is from Cambridge, Ustad, in UK.
If you study the history and the profile of Harun Yahya, he hails from Turkey and so forth. Many of his books are translated and so forth. So yes, when you read it like that, a cursory glance, you won't find much wrong. But remember that when it comes to hadith, then remember that many times he rejects authentic ahadith. And a person who rejects authentic ahadith, remember that's a serious, serious issue. So therefore, I told you in Quran, Surah chapter 16 verse 44, any verse of the Quran, aqimus salat, establish salat. Now how are we going to read salat? Wa anzalna ilayka dhikra. Almighty Allah jalla wala revealed to you, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this reminder, the Quran Sharif. Now what must you do, O Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, litubayyana linnasi ma nuzila ilay. You have to expound and explain to the people in detail what is revealed to them, and he many a time he rejects the hadith. So that is a big problem. Any person who rejects hadith totally, completely, is not even a Muslim. So therefore, for scholars who know what they are doing, they can sift out, is a different issue. But for the layman, I would not advise you to read his books.
Before we go for an ad break, Norbert's requesting, he wants a record of that question that he posed to you, Ustad, Brother Norbert.
Norbert, what you do is send your cell number to my brother Mona Arafat, and we will send you the whole, you understand, this podcast. My brother Lukolo is our engineer, and inshallah, Mona Arafat, just take the number, Molana, and then inshallah you send it to our brother Norbert, and in that way you can listen to it. So you make note of the time you pose the question, around 9:15 or so, because it will be a 2-hour podcast, and then you can listen to it as well, my brother Norbert.
27 minutes to 10 o'clock.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
24 minutes to 10. Ustad, how does one share the inheritance? It says here, the adult son with children boys and girls, passes away before the father. Later, the father passes away. Do the wife and children of the deceased son inherit from the father's estate? Ustad, anonymous.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I discussed that just now. So we need to know who are the heirs there. So when the son passed away, meaning he passed away before his father, subsequently the father passes away. But there are other sons, other daughters. So then these grandchildren will not inherit. They already inherited from their father. Hence, they will not inherit from the dada, the paternal grandfather, and the person, you know, who is there. However, he, the grandfather, can make provision for them, the grandchildren, in the wasiya. First is burial, funeral expenses. Second is the debts of the deceased. So, we'll bequeath for them up to one third. And then we must remember the remainder that will go to your sons and your daughters. The golden rule. Always remember this. I'm giving you certain golden rules. See, we're getting questions of inheritance. I'm very happy about that. So, and all of you must have your Islamic world ready. So, three usuls, principles I'm giving you. Remember that, number one, the law, Islamic law of succession, Islamic law of inheritance works on al-aqrab fal-aqrab, the law of proximity. So you didn't understand much. Meaning that the nearer you are to the deceased, you will inherit. And the remote you are, further you are, you will not inherit. So take this example, grandchildren and children. So the children are sons and daughters, so the grandchildren will not inherit. But in your world, you make provision for the grandchildren. Up to one third of the total estate you can bequeath for them. So that's one golden rule. Second golden rule, you must remember who inherits. So the blood relatives inherit, and the husband, wife, whoever survives, so remember, they will inherit. That's golden rule. Third golden rule, across the board, across the spectrum, when the person passes away, if he or she, the deceased, is survived by their biological father or biological son, then remember, all siblings of the deceased, all brothers, sisters of the deceased are deprived, they will not inherit. So in those cases there, you could bequeath for the siblings. So these are the basic rules, golden rules of inheritance you should know.
Ustad, let's go to, this is in Mauritius, anonymous. Mufti Sahab, I gave birth to a disabled child. Now my family is pressurizing me, saying that I must never have more kids, as they might be disabled too. I'm so heartbroken, Mufti Sahab. I love my child the way my child is. Allah has blessed me. Anonymous, Ustad.
Remember, you must not listen to what the people say. Now make a note of this, my sister. You are in Mauritius, in Port Louis. So what you going to do? Write down chapter 42 and verse 48-49. Allah Jalla Wala states, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ. Allah gave as a gift to whosoever he wants, a daughter or daughters only. And Allah, we once he gave sons only. Oh, يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكُرَانُ وَإِنَاثًا. Some couples now are married. Allah blesses them with sons and daughters, alhamdulillah. So it's a gift, a special child Allah has blessed you with. And don't worry about the unsavory comments they are making. Quran Kareem states, wa in tuti akthara man fil ard. If you are going to be obedient and listen to people, majority of them, remember what will happen, yudilluka an sabilillah, they will lead you astray from the path of Almighty Allah. Chapter number 6, verse number 116. Chapter 6, verse 116. So I want you to do this. Now, you and your husband, you must say, Ya Allah, you blessed us with a special child. We know what it is. Now let me give you the incident. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam is Kalimullah. You know today how iPhone Mauritius, you speak to me, I speak to you. So he is to speak directly to Almighty Allah. No intervention of an angel and so forth. Hence his name Kalimullah. He saw a person really crippled, difficult and so forth for him to walk, you know. So he, Musa, alayhi salatu salam, Nabi Musa, he was dark in complexion. His name is mentioned 136 times in a noble Quran. The most any messenger's name is mentioned. Ya Allah, Jalla wa Allah. Ya Allah, why you created this person like this? Mm. So Allah answers to Kalimullah, Nabi Musa, alayhi salam, O Musa, if this person makes sabr, and he will tell me on the day of justice, Ya Allah, you should have given me more disabilities, because the honor you will give me on the day of justice and in paradise. A child, a person is born blind. People will say, oh, now this is this. Do you know what is the virtue of that person? My mother-in-law was blind, she passed away, yeah? So you must remember that I live with a blind person, so we know what we are talking. So Allah Jalla Wala will say, oh, you are Ama, oh, you blind person, you made sabr, you cried, you made dua. Tomorrow on the day of justice, I will give you the honor that you will be the first people to make Ru'yat Bari Ta'ala, to see all my Allah and the nur and the radiance and effulgence of Allah. So me and you don't understand with our puny little brains the hikmatullah al-baligha, the great wisdom. So when your child is crippled or certain, you know, challenges and special child, so don't worry about people. You must say, Ya Allah, this is my special child. I'm making sabr. It's your gift to me. And Ya Allah, now we will go for another son, another daughter, and we still making the dua. Chapter 37, verse 100, the dua of Khalilullah, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Rabbi habli minas salihin. Oh, beloved Allah, grant us pious children. So that is what you should do. Don't worry about their comments. Fala yahzunka qawluhum. Their speech must not cause you grief. Inna na'alamu ma yusirruna wa ma yulinun. We know what they are uttering in private, in their caucus, and we know what people utter in public. Read these verses, it will give you solace and pacify you.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. I love that answer, Ustad. So Ustad, what will happen to those non-Muslims who died without being reached by the message of Islam? Augustine, preacher of truth, Ustad.
My brother Augustine, you must remember, if a person is sane and mature, so we divide and the question into two, three different parts. So number one is this, Islam reached that person and he or she knows about it and they are sane and mature and yet they did not embrace Islam. They died in that state. Then Surah chapter 33, verses 64, 65 is very, very clear. I read the verse for you, my brother Augustine. Inna Allah la'ana al-kafirina wa 'adda lahum sa'ira. Verily Almighty Allah has cursed the disbelievers and prepared for them the furnace and the blazing fire. Khalidina fiha abada. They will dwell and stay there forever and ever. Eternal punishment and chastisement. Allah protect us. La yajiduna waliya wa la nasira. There is no protector for them and no helper. Chapter 33, verses 64-65. First scenario. Second scenario, that person is on some remote mountain and island. Nothing about Islam reached that person. Still with his intelligence and intellect, which Almighty Allah granted him and bestowed upon him, he must believe in the oneness and uniqueness of Almighty Allah. If he doesn't believe in anything else, because nobody reached there, he doesn't know about it. So if he believes in the oneness of Allah, and Allah knows everything, Allah's knowledge is all-embracing, all-encompassing, so that will be sufficient for his salvation, and he or she will enter Jannah and paradise. But three, four crimes, remember, Almighty Allah will not forgive. Number one, a person who rejects the articles of faith, as I explained to you, after the message of Islam reached him. So chapter 33, verses, remember, that is 64-65. Next one will be a person who committed your shirk. He ascribed somebody something to Almighty Allah. He said Allah has sons or daughters or son or partners and associates. So chapter 4, verse 48, Inna Allah la yaghfiru ay yushraka bihi. And Allah will never forgive those people, remember, who associate and ascribe somebody something to Almighty Allah. Allah. Similarly, Almighty Allah will not forgive the people, you must remember, who only paid lip service to Islam. They just said the kalima, ashadu Allah ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, and they had not in the inner recesses of their heart. Surah chapter 4 and verse number 145, the hypocrites, innal munafiqina fi darkil asfali minan nar, they will be in the lowest layer of the hellfire, because they were just saying it on the tip of the tongue. But remember, Almighty Allah is the sole judge for all these issues here. Me and you, you know, today the lawyers, attorneys and advocates, their senior counsel, they use the term, I hear some of them say prima facie and fasi and whatever, so they we pass the verdict like that. Nahnu nahkum bi zawahir wallahu mutawalli sarair. Whatever evidence comes to us, we pass the verdict accordingly. And what is in the heart of people and so forth, so that only Almighty Allah knows. So these are the verses you should know, my brother Augustine. Chapter 33, verses 64, 65. Chapter 4, verse 48. Chapter 4, verse 145. May Almighty Allah guide me, guide you, guide all of us to the truth, all ways, all times, all places.
Ameen, 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 summa ameen. We go to brother Mustaqim. He says, call me Mac. Listening from Farianakhan Ustad. He's got a farm. He says, salam, horse and bet is halal or haram? Mac, Ustad.
So you must remember Mustaqim. That's a good name. So we call you by Mustaqim. Allah keep us in Sirat Mustaqim. Regarding your horses, is halal. So you must remember that. So in time, see, I show you Mustaqim. You got the farm there in Fenachan, Roshni or Dadawal or wherever. Allah alone knows, right? See, you know the surah, right? Faswalli li rabbika wa nahar. When you slaughter the camel will be standing, and you fasten the one leg, and then you slaughter it, if you know. But when you slaughter goat, sheep, cow, and tazbahu baqara, you make zabah. When we speak of zabah, then you drop the animal on the ground, and then you slaughter it. Obviously, before that, Bismillah, Allah Akbar. For horse, naharna. Sahaba say, we used to make nahar. So they used to slaughter the horse while it was standing. Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, all say remember permissible. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, students, they say permissible. And if you know Hanafi fiqh thoroughly, properly, then remember there's a fatwa kitab called Fatawa Imadiyya of the Hanafis. In there it is mentioned, waraja ila qawli sahibay. Imam Abu Hanifa, in his ending letter portion of his life, 3 days before his demise, he, Imam Abu Hanifa, passed away in the year 150. I went to his Mubarak grave also there in Azamiya. So anyway, he also said that yes, the horses are permissible and so forth. So it's ijma, and you can say today. So yes, it is permissible, but I hope you know how to slaughter the horses, my brother Mustaqim. You have to slaughter it the Mustaqim way, the proper way, inshallah. Halal, no problem.
So then let's say, if the person leaves behind a wife, mother, dead, 2 boys, 3 girls, how will be the calculation in ratio and percentage? Please provide an example for easy understanding, according to Imam Abu Hanifa. This is from Springs, Ustad.
There's no Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad. Everybody agrees on this. The only thing, we must get the permutations correct, you know, because it can differ from family to family. So just look at the problem, Maulana, and just see. Mm-hmm. I don't miss out anybody. Mm-hmm. Number one, that you, the husband, now you got the wife. So 12.5% for her. Then you got your parents who are still living. Alhamdulillah, kiss their hand tonight before you sleep if they're living with you. So the 1/6, 1/6 for them, 1/3 collectively for your parents. You got it? 1/6, 1/6, so collectively 1/3. So we will say wife 12.5%. Parents, you must remember 1/3. 1/6, 1/6. So they inherit the same amount. Then how many sons, how many daughters? Three sons.
2 boys, 3 girls.
2 sons and 3 girls, 3 daughters there. So we say that you must make up the remainder. So you got 12.5%, and then you got 1/3, so that is 45% plus minus I'm giving you. So the residue now, you make 7 shares there. Why 7 shares of the residue? The 54-55% plus minus that is left. So why? Because the sons, 2 sons, so they will just be 4 shares. And then you got 3 daughters, so you make 3 shares. So residue, 7 shares, and 4 shares to the 2 sons, and 3 shares to the 3 daughters. All this is ijma. Shafi'i, there's consensus, Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Ambali, everybody, no difference of opinion.
Ustaz, let's go to Kimberly. Ma says here, Mufti Saab, Kanala, my wife, it says, wants to keep the dog in the house. She says the people of the cave had a dog with them. Also, I read a hadith where it mentioned that it was ordained for dogs to be killed at one point. Why was that? Kimberly Ustad.
You must remember you are in the holy city, H-O-L-E, not H-O-L-Y. The diamonds are there in Kimberley. So therefore, now you must be very careful. You must read Surah Kahf every Thursday night, Friday. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Man qara'a Surah al-Kahf yawm al-Jumu'ah, adha'a lahu min al-Nur ma bain al-Jumu'atayn. That whosoever recites Surah Kahf, chapter number 18 of the Noble Quran, the night of Friday, what we call Thursday night or Friday, Allah Jalla Wala will bless that person, remember, with the nur and radiance and effulgence. So mashallah, so that's very, very good. You must read it. Now you want to speak about the dog and so forth. So you must be careful what you are saying. See what Quran Kareem states. The Quran Kareem states, وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَسِيدِ, and that the dog was not right inside with them. It was a poisa. He was a guard, and he was there by the threshold, by the door, and so forth. I went to the cave also. So if you go to Amman, there in Jordan, most ulama say it happened there. Wallahu a'lam, we don't say 100%, but we can say most probably. But to use that example and say, now bring the dog and puppy right inside the house, that's wrong. To have a dog as a pet in Islam, not permissible. To have a dog for security purposes, permissible. To have a dog for hunting purposes, permissible. So that is what you must do. Keep the dog for security purposes, and beta can't, way Oma, my Oma and Opa and Kimli, ni bana can't, ni beta can't. So you must remain not inside the house, it must be outside, because you're keeping it for security. And you know, according to the Shafi'i scholars, like how all the scholars say regarding the swine, regarding the pig, you know, the khinzir, bumper to bumper, top to bottom, every part of it is napak, najis, impure. Al-Imam Shafi'i, and some of you in Kimberley, majority of you follow the Imam Shafi'i school, you should know regarding dog also, that is what Imam Shafi'i states, that it is najasul ain, bumper to bumper, top to bottom, side to side, every part of it is napak and now najis and impure. So therefore, baitakant ni banakant ni. So it must be outside for security purposes.
Is it permissible to take photos when barring a person in the Qabristan? What is the Sharia ruling, Ustad?
Not permissible. You must remember that it is desecrating the sanctity of Islam. That is the time we are burying our brother, our sister. We should be contemplating about death ourselves. What will happen to me? What will happen to you? And not time now for entertainment. Let us take one last video. Let us take one last photo and so forth. Nay, definitely not permissible. And then this is how, if you study the history of shirk and polytheism, people made one, you know, that like a snap. In those days, they had no photo, snap camera and videos, whatever, but they would paint and they would make drawings and so forth. Then one generation looked at them, next generation came, then they start bowing down. Third generation came, they started prostrating. Next generation venerated, respected them so much, they started worshipping them. So remember, Islam cut it from the roots and say this is not permissible. And more so at the graveyard and so forth, definitely unacceptable.
Mufti Saab, after class, I make the kids read Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanakallahumma wa nashhadu. Now my colleague says, I can't say nashhadu. I should say ashhadu, because we cannot give witness for another person. Is it wrong to recite it collectively, Ustaz?
Remember, very good what you are doing. You are teaching the children, so they are reading collectively. When ashhadu, perfect, and we bear testimony. So yes, what you are saying is very good. And every day after madrasa, after the religious school classes, then you tell them to read. This is known as kafaratul majlis. In case while we were teaching, maybe we made a joke, we we said something incorrectly, and we read the supplication, so this will compensate for the deficiency. Very good, you continue. People, sometimes you're saying the right thing. كَمْ مِنْ عَائِبٍ قَوْلًا صَحِيحًا وَعَافَتُهُ مِنَ الْفَهْمِ السَّقِيمِ. In Arabic, the poet says, how many times we say something correctly, we say something correctly, yeah, you did it collectively, it's correct what you did, but the people object because they themselves must understand. Like sometimes I pass a fatwa, I say something on air, but the people, they study or they hear selective amnesia. The thing I said, they forget, and they go tell people, now we said this, we said that. So they confuse issues, or their fuses get blown in the process.
This question says, Ustad, I'm not understanding. It says, if sa'i is made for Hajj by the week, W-E-A-K, on the 7th of Dhul Hijjah, is there any room for permissibility, anonymous Ustad?
So you must remember, Hajj came and is gone now. There's the next year Hajj going to ask. So remember that you are asking, it's a hila. It's a shortcut. The Hanafi ulama have said, they said that if you want, you don't want to make the sa'i after tawafu ziyara, so then you fasten your ihram, and then you're going to stay in ihram. You go to tan'im. And then Masjid Aisha, you fasten your ihram, then you come, you make a nafil tawaf, and then you make the sa'i, and then you stay in ihram on the 8th, you go to Mina and that. Then when you come out of your ihram, you just perform tawafu ziyara and so forth, and then no sa'i. But we don't encourage this. Why we don't encourage it? Quran Kareem states, Surah 3 verse 31, Fattabi'uni, follow me, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Second, regarding Umrah, Hajj, minor pilgrimage, Khudu anni manasikakum, take from me your actions of Umrah and Hajj. Authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. So therefore you should stay away from the shortcuts and loopholes.
Ustad, may you please quote for me the Quranic verse or hadith which prohibits a woman from cutting her hair? This is from Escort to start.
Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala teaches us in the noble Quran, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْ مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ على بعض. للرجال نصيب مما اكتسبوا وللنساء نصيب مما اكتسب. You said Quran, so we're giving you Quran. Chapter number 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 32, that you should not desire for what virtue Almighty Allah gave some people over the other. For the man is what they earn. For the woman is what you earn, your rewards. You are going to fall pregnant. You will give birth. You will do breastfeeding. So the man won't get all that reward. You will get that reward. So when the woman imitates the man, so it's haram that how the man imitate the woman. So when you are going to cut your hair short, we look at you from the back, we don't know is Eve or is Steve. So you're blowing our fuses. And the man, they want to now keep long hair, and then they want to make ponytail, you know. So that also is not permissible. And hadith Tirmidhi, la'anallahu mutashabbihin wa mutashabbihat, the man who imitate women and the women who imitate men, so both ways not permissible. So Islam wants the male must remain male and the women must remain women. Therefore, this, you know, unisex business and mix up jirmakar business is not permissible in Islam. One. Two, remember you want the clear hadith, open Jami al-Saghir, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There the word is clearly mentioned, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited the women from cutting their hair. And third one, Man tashabba biqawmin fa wa minhum, whoever imitates a people, you want to imitate the queen, you want to imitate the princess, you want to imitate the air hostess, you want to imitate some culture and fashion, so all that not permissible. So remember, it's not permissible for you. Yes, you're going for Umrah Hajj, so then you cut your hair, that's permissible. But all this, what our women are doing nowadays, definitely not permissible.
It says, dear Mufti Saab, I'm listening to you, you speaking about the world. We are from Bronkhorst. I am single, only have a mother, 4 brothers and 1 sister. How do I make up my Sharia will? Ustad?
Your mother will inherit 1/6, and then you have 4 brothers and 1 sister. So after the mother's share, so then you will make 9 shares. So 8 shares for your 4 brothers, 2, 2, 2, 2, and for your sister, 1 share. So whatever you want to give your mother during your lifetime, she becomes the owner, no conditions attached, permissible. Whatever you want to give your sister, you give them, no problem. But upon death, 1/6 for mother, then the remainder residue, 9 shares, 8 shares for the 4 brothers, 1 share for your beloved sister.
Ustad, Maputo, Mozambique is the house that is owned by you, that you are living in, irrespective on whether it is bonded or not. Zakatable, Ustad?
No, on houses, on personal houses, personal cars, all that, there is no zakat, is considered as hajat, asliya, your personal needs. But remember, if you took out overdraft, bond, all that interest for that transaction, it is haram, you get sin. But there is no zakat on it.
Ustad, last question. Cape Town wants to know, Mufti Saab, I have heard that a pregnant woman should not attend a funeral. They should wait a day or two, or at least until the body has left the house. Is there any Islamic background on this? If so, what is the reason for this, Ustad? Cape Town.
My broer, my sister from Kapstadt, from Cape Town, mother city, beautiful Cape Town, 2 oceans. Mm. Now let us see what say the men, sir, what the people say. So now the husband passed away and his wife is pregnant. Then what shall the man say?
Buta Rashid, Ustaz.
So Buta Rashid, then what shall the man say? Allah give you long life, right, Buta Rashid? You pass away, your wife is pregnant. So what you going to tell your wife? She must go there in the garage or something. So all these are fairy tales. You must remember, it's not skinnerate. You know skinnerate. It's just rumors and stories they make. So it got no place in Islam. So you must remember to say, if the lady goes to the funeral or the mayit, then she will lose the child. She will have a miscarriage. All these are fairy tales and has no place in Islam. We don't believe in superstition. It is an article of faith. وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ Good, bad, happy, sad, everything comes from Allah. Obviously, common sense is no more so common nowadays. She can also see, use a common sense. If she's in the 8th month, 9th month, and then for her to travel and go here and there. So then, obviously, we also will tell her that you must remember, you must exercise caution. But to say that no pregnant woman can go, so I'm asking you, when the husband passed away and the wife is pregnant, what she will do? She has to stay in that house, because the husband passed away. So remember to make and say these type of things. Remember, unacceptable. Inshallah, now we're going to conclude.
Mr. Brother Ilyas from Maputo wants to know quickly, he says, is there any wrong selling and using perfumes? Ustaz, Brother Ilyas.
I'll answer you, my Brother Ilyas, just now. Inshallah, let me just give you the rundown quickly, and that is that first we will listen to my brother Hafiz Yusuf Kala, and then Mufti Taqi Usmani, Hafiz Ola's lecture. Allah ki nigrani mein sab kuch ho raha hai, meaning that Allah is all observing on all our deeds and actions, so we need to be aware of that. So you, my brother Ilyas, you want to know about perfumes and so forth, and now they say they have alcohol, all that. So the fatwa and there is, if you apply it on your clothing, you apply it on your body, your salat, all is permissible. But you must remember that that is not the alcohol, this is all synthetic, and that's fatwa. Taqwa, precaution, best to abstain. And if you want a very academic discussion, open Takbila Fathil Mulim by the same person whose name I took now, Mufti Taqi Usmani, in the 3rd volume of the commentary of Sahih Muslim. He has a wonderful academic discussion there. Barakallahu fiqh. We say Jazakallah khairan to you, Mawlana Rafat. We say thank you to you, Brother Lukolo, and all the engineers and all the esteemed listeners. Inshallah, within half an hour, 45 minutes, inshallah, my Brother Lukolo will prepare the podcast, Ameen. And we will send it out, inshallah. We thank Salahuddin and team, Barakallahu fiqh. They're running our Telegram, mashallah. Any one of you wants to go on Telegram, first go to the Play Store, and then you download Telegram, install it in your phone, then you look for my link, and thereafter, remember, then you join us. And if you don't have my link, then just send me a message now, tomorrow, 071-888-1184. Just write Telegram, don't make long. long stories, and we will then give you the link, inshallah. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Up next, the golden voice of Hafiz Kala Sahib from Newcastle. Thereafter, our Urdu lecture by Hazrat Malana Mufti Taqi Uthmani. We're going to leave you alive on this beautiful night. See you guys tomorrow morning. Same time, same place on our program, As-Safina to Ila Al-Jannah. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ahdina sa jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.